Hello, AOPA Flying Clubs, and welcome to episode 10 of Flying Clubs Radio. I'm Steve Bateman, and I'm joined once again by my colleague, Drew. What's new, Drew?
Thanks, Steve. I've never heard that one before. But what is new? Today, we're going to tackle the elusive 100-hour inspection question for flying club aircraft. It is pretty easy, right? A club is a club, so it should not have to do 100-hour inspections.
Oh, if only aviation was so simple. But I can say that the answer is, most definitely, maybe.
Isn't there an actual FAR that should help us here?
There is an FAR, but whether it helps is a matter of interpretation, which we will now, of course, provide in droves. Let's first remind ourselves of the 100-hour regulation itself. This is FAR 91409B. Going forward, we'll refer to this as the 100-hour regulation. It states in part that no person may operate an aircraft carrying any person other than a crew member for hire, and no person may give flight instruction for hire in an aircraft which that person provides, unless within the preceding 100 hours of time in service, the aircraft has received an annual or 100-hour inspection. So there's some key points here, and it's all to do with how the aircraft is to be operated on the upcoming flight, not what has happened in the past, and not about who owns the aircraft.
Sounds to me like we need to peel this particular onion a little bit more. Let's start with the first part. Operating an aircraft for compensation or hire. Surely flying club aircraft should never be used for compensation or hire, right?
Correct. And stop calling me Shirley. The FAA document that defines flying clubs and their behaviours, which is FAA Order 5190.6B, known as the Airport Compliance Manual, states in Section 10.6 that a flying club is a non-profit or not-for-profit entity and that a club cannot offer or conduct charter, air taxi or air rental operations. In other words, a club cannot operate their aircraft for compensation or hire. By the way, this is exactly why flying clubs should not use the word rent. Club members are effectively co-owners, even if the club leases the aircraft, and so members use the aircraft rather than rent it from the club.
Okay, then. That one's quite clear. A club that is operating correctly cannot trigger the requirement for a 100-hour inspection, since the operation of club airplanes must not involve flights for the purpose of compensation or hire.
Correct again. The emphasis being, of course, on a club operating correctly. We talk a lot about this actually in the Guide to Starting a Flying Club and in articles from our monthly newsletter, Club Connector.
So what about the second trigger here for 100-hour inspections? Flight instruction for hire.
So we now need to dig deeper. The good news is that many people before us have been equally confused by the words around flight training in clubs. Not so much flight schools, but club aircraft. And they have paved the way for us. There are several FAA legal interpretations that help us here. The first one states, the 100-hour maintenance inspection requirement of the 100-hour regulation depends on how the aircraft is operated. Okay, so this raises another question, what does operate mean? But it does remove any notion that the inspection is influenced by the type of ownership. This is really important for flying clubs as it removes any distinction between equity and non-equity flying clubs. The interpretation continues to list six scenarios that could apply to flight schools that provide aircraft for rent, as well as perhaps an instructor. In brief, in cases where a school provides both the aircraft and an instructor to give flight instruction for hire, then the 100-hour regulation applies. If a customer rents the aircraft from a school, but the school does not provide the instructor, the aircraft need not have an annual or 100-hour inspection within the preceding 100 hours of time in service for that flight.
I'm not sure this is helping much, Steve.
I think a second interpretation will provide further clarification. Rather than focusing on who owns the aircraft, the 100-hour inspection question may be more easily resolved by looking at how the aircraft is operated. Regardless of who legally owns the aircraft, the 100-hour maintenance inspection is required if you operate the aircraft for certain purposes. With regard to flight instruction, the 100-hour inspection requirement applies when the flight instructor provides both the flight instruction for hire and the aircraft to be used for that instruction. And that also extends to the flight school who provides the flight instructor and the aircraft. This interpretation continues. The 100-hour inspection requirement does not apply if the person receiving flight instruction provides the aircraft. The person receiving flight instruction can provide an aircraft that he or she owns. So if the person receiving flight instruction does not own the aircraft, the FAA may review the manner in which the person provided the aircraft to ensure the instructor or an entity represented by the instructor did not effectively provide the aircraft.
Hang on, Steve. What does effectively provide mean?
So this was a phrase that was put in there, I think, by the FAA to stop people cheating. They're giving a little bit of an out here, but they wanted to be sure that there was not some sort of hidden provision going on. So we now have to look at two other FAA legal interpretations to shed light on what effectively provide might mean for clubs. Yet another interpretation was directed at a flying club and contains some useful insight, including, with respect to instructors who are members of the flying club, the FAA position is that a member instructor providing lessons to other members would not implicate the 100-hour regulation as long as, and here is the meat of the discussion. Number one, there is no contractual relationship between the member instructor and the flying club for the provision of flight instruction services. Basically, the member using the instructor should pay the instructor directly, and nothing about flight training goes through the club's books. Number two, the member instructor is not recommended or given any preference by the flying club. Basically, the club cannot insist that a particular member instructor be used. Otherwise, the club would be providing the instructor. And then number three, all members are free to choose instructors who are not members of the flying club. Note that all three conditions are required to not implicate the 100-hour regulation.
I think I begin to see the wood from the trees. But does this mean that members may decide to use any instructor? What about insurance implications?
That's a good point. And for the answer, we must look at another FAA interpretation, which was directed to an FBO rather than a club, but states the same general principles. It indicates that it is acceptable to require any instructor who will instruct in club aircraft to pass a checkout ride or familiarization flight with the club with a club pilot to be certain that the new instructor meets the club's insurance requirements. So, flying clubbers, there we have it. If club aircraft are used for compensated instruction, the need to comply with the 100-hour regulation depends not on the type of club and not on who owns the aircraft, but on how it is operated for that actual flight. If the club provides the aircraft and the instructor, the answer is yes, 100-hour inspection. If a member decides to use the aircraft to receive individual flight training and is free to choose any instructor who may or may not be a club member and may be on a list of improved instructors, then, of course, where that list presumably has more than one name on it, then the answer is no, the 100-hour inspection is not invoked. So let's look at a couple of cases here. We'll illustrate this by working through a few typical flying club scenarios. Drew, please start us off.
Yeah, sure. Scenario one, members do not use club aircraft for compensated flight training. The 100-hour regulation is then not invoked.
So scenario number two, members use club aircraft for flight training, but no compensation of any instructor takes place. A club member effectively just uses the club aircraft, and the member does not pay the instructor. The 100-hour regulation is not invoked.
Scenario three, members use club aircraft for flight training and then compensate an instructor who has no affiliation with the club and has no contractual agreement with the club to provide any instruction. The 100-hour regulation would not be invoked.
Number four, members use club aircraft for flight training and only instructors who are also members are authorized to instruct in the aircraft. As members now do not have the choice to use non-member instructors, the club is effectively providing the instructor. The 100-hour regulation is invoked.
Scenario five, members use club aircraft for flight training and both member and non-member instructors are authorized. Members have the choice of using any of these instructors. And because of this, the club is not providing the flight instructor and the 100-hour regulation is not invoked.
So one final thought on this, even if your club's operations do not invoke the 100-hour regulation, you still have a choice to make. Presumably the idea of 100-hour inspections came from somewhere, most likely as a result of one or more accidents. Do you really want to fly an airplane that, if it was in a flight school, would have inspections, whereas the same aircraft in a club doesn't need the inspections? Don't let cost be a factor here. If the 100-hour inspection costs, say, $1,000, add $10 onto the aircraft per hour cost, and the problem is solved.
Well, that pretty much wraps up this discussion about the 100-hour inspection. A related question is whether a club aircraft can be used at all for the purposes of flight instruction. And again, here, the answer is maybe, provided the club follows the rules. More on this in another episode, but as a heads up, if you're advertising Learn to Fly anywhere on your club's website or in public, you're already in trouble. If you'd like more information on various FAA interpretations, please let us know at our email, flyingclubnetwork@aopa.org. So until next time on Flying Clubs Radio, it's goodbye from me.
And it's goodbye from him.